Okay, next up we have from UCLA Loesch, Lillian Jalali and Biri Diana Rios, who worked this summer on a project with the industrial laundries with Unite Here.
Thank you. My name is Lillian Jalali. I'm a master's in public health student at UCLA.
And I'm Biri Diana Rios, and I just finished up my bachelor's degree at UCLA in Chicano Studies, and I'm currently applying to get my MPH.
And as Gail mentioned, our project was on heat stress in Los Angeles industrial laundries. No relationships to disclose. So a little bit of background information. What is an industrial laundry? Well, there are a couple of pictures over there to give you an image. Basically, they're just very large laundries. They clean clothes, they clean linens, hospital linen laundries, clean rooms, which clean uniforms and materials for example, pharmaceuticals and biotechs. And there are also uniform laundries, which both of the laundries that we worked with were uniform laundries. And the workers were primarily Spanish-speaking Latina women.
So we had a few objectives for the project. Our number one was to empower the workers through an educational intervention that was actually developed by Ingrid Zubieta and Dale from UCLA Loesch. And we wanted to teach the workers how to collect the heat data, so our big objective was actually to develop a really close relationship with them. We also wanted to strengthen the Health and Safety Committee efforts in continuing to improve the workplace conditions. And finally, we wanted to create a final product which we would disperse to industrial laundries of Southern California. And this final product would address the heat-related illness issues, and it would help them prevent any future like illnesses.
So the two facilities that we worked with, they were both Prudential Overall Supply. The first one was Van Nuys plant, and the second was the Commerce plant. And they were very different laundry facilities, even though they were both uniform laundries and they were both Prudential, but the culture of the facilities were very different. The Van Nuys plant, we had 23 out of the 30 workers participate in our study. The workers there were very motivated and very committed to our efforts and our efforts as a whole, because it was their efforts as well. Whereas in the Commerce plant, we were only able to recruit 9 employees to participate, and they had recently come off a strike about a few months prior to us coming there, and it was a 4-month strike. And while we were there, they were currently going through negotiations as well. So they weren't as eager to participate, and at times they didn't want anything to do with the union, with Unite Here. And since we were representing the union when we would go in there, they basically didn't want much to do with us.
So in order to get our project going, we met with the Health and Safety Committee members, and we asked them questions about whether or not they understood some of the heat-related symptoms, and we asked them whether or not they had ever felt these symptoms, and if so, what did they do? We found that not a lot of them actually reported it, and we also conducted face-to-face interviews with workers who were not on the Health and Safety Committee, and we finally decided that we would have the workers log their water intake prior to the education intervention. So they did that for a week. And then we went in a week after that, and we did the intervention, and we did sessions during their lunch for a week. And we gave them a pre and a post test to see whether or not they were actually learning. And after that, we went in again, and we had them log their water intake for another week. And during all that time, during those 3 weeks, they were actually collecting the heat and humidity data in the workplace.
So these are the water logs that Biri Diana was referring to. They were just small logs that we created, and they are self-reported. So they would report their water intake based on bottles, which you see Vivian in the picture passing water bottles out to the employees as they walk in. That was at 4 in the morning, by the way, very early. And they would also record how many bathroom visits they had, and they would also record any additional beverages, such as coffee or any caffeinated beverages with lunch.
So in order to get the heat measurements, we used the EZTEC temperature and humidity data loggers. And these were actually really helpful because they can record up to 8,000 readings. And you can program them to take recordings every 60 seconds or every 30 minutes. It just depends on you. So we decided to do recordings every 60 seconds for 3 weeks in Van Nuys from 4:30 in the morning until 1 p.m. And in Commerce, we were only able to get them in for 6 days. From 4 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And they actually wore them on their belt loops, so it was really easy for them to just walk around with the measure.
And that was one of the ways that we included the workers throughout this entire process, because we wanted them to kind of take responsibility and do the work and figure out the results for themselves, to take ownership of it. This right here is an actual sample measurement from the data loggers. You can see this one was taken on 7/22/08, and this was a measurement from somebody who works in the shirt press. Now, there's different departments within a laundry. There's shirt press, there's wash, there's dry, there's the tunnel. And this one is in the shirt press, and you can see the temperature is the red one, and the heat index, which takes into account temperature and humidity to give you the actual temperature. It can go, sorry? Oh. Okay. Yes. It actually goes up as high as 117 on this particular day with this person wearing it. And we actually had people in pretty much all of the departments wear it at some point because we wanted to see how hot it got in which department. And what was interesting about this, what we found out, was there are three different people who are in the shirt press. So they kind of stand in a row, three different people. And this measurement was for the person who was in the middle. And the person next to them, their measurement only got about to maybe 95 or so. So we found out that the person in the middle would get pretty much all of the heat pushed into her working station. And they don't rotate stations or anything. So that person has been working there for years in the hot spot. So for the educational sessions, as Viviana mentioned, it was an indoor heat curriculum that was developed by Ingrid, actually, who's sitting up here, and Deo, I believe, as well. It's a week-long curriculum, 15-minute sessions. We did them during their lunch breaks. They have 30-minute lunch breaks. We took the last 15 minutes. And we also conducted the pre- and post-test on the first and last day of that week. And we also posted the picture on the right. We posted all of the materials on their health and safety board, which is in their break room.
And this is what we found. So the water logging results actually showed that 86% of the workers did increase their water intake by an average of one bottle, which is 16 ounces. And 50% of the workers decreased their caffeinated beverage intake. As far as the heat data results go, as you saw in the sample measurement, temperatures can get up to 117 degrees in the shirt press area, and they vary within departments. Another example is the folding area, which is where they fold the towels and all the linens. It would only reach up to 88 degrees, so they had the lowest temperatures. But on the wash floor, which is where the washing machines and the dryers are located, they can reach up to 116 degrees. So we found a lot of, like, differences between departments. And the post-test results, they just show that we did make the workers more knowledgeable and more aware of the heat-related illness symptoms and what to do in case of emergencies.
So some of our challenges, as I mentioned before, the Commerce workers' lack of participation was a challenge, which I understand that, you know, recruitment is a challenge with any research that you do, but it was particularly difficult at Commerce. And we understand, too, where the workers were coming from as well. So also at Commerce, there was a lot of management intimidation where workers were threatened that they would lose their job if they were to wear the data loggers. So there was fear on their part, on the workers' part.
And one of our greatest successes was developing a close relationship with the workers. And without that relationship, we would have never even been able to continue with this project because of the management intimidation and everything that was going on. The good thing about the workers was that they would actually personally contact us and be like, oh, management had a meeting this morning. They threatened everybody to lose their job if we even participated, so everybody threw their logbooks away. So, you know, things like that, they would communicate with us right away. And that was very helpful because we were able to act on it in the same day. And we, for the workers in Van Nuys, we were actually able to get them to voice their complaints. So they're going to be having the swamp coolers installed by the beginning of next summer. But for this previous summer, they installed fans in the different departments so that they could decrease the temperatures there. And another success was that we gathered temperature and humidity data within an industrial laundry for the first time, and we increased the workers' knowledge and awareness.
For our give back, we created an information sheet which had the heat-related illnesses, symptoms, and what to do. We also gave them these water bottles with a small laminated kind of little signs and symptoms to look for heat-related illnesses. We also had a lunch for all of the workers because they participated, and we shared with them our results of their pre and post tests as well as their water intake. And that flyer, the information sheet, will hopefully be disseminated in the future to the workers and to the union representatives who can pass them out to more workers as well, here and in Northern California. Oh, and one more thing. We also created a training activity based on our experience over the summer, which will hopefully be used for future OHIP intern trainings. So for next year, because we had a lot of challenges with the unions and with management.
And just to go off of that, I wanted to mention that I actually spoke to one of the workers last week just to get a follow-up as far as, like, where they stand now. And she even told me that those water bottles that we gave them, they hold 64 ounces of water. So the workers still use them today, and she says they go in full and they come out empty. So that was just a really, like, rewarding thing to hear. But as far as the project goes, we made some recommendations. For the union, we would ideally like them to continue pressuring to give this heat awareness training to all the workers and to continue supporting the health and safety committees. And for the workers, we would like them to continue taking action and voicing their opinions so that they can prevent these heat-related illnesses. And for the employer, we would love for them to provide this heat training and monitor the temperatures at their workplace so that they may provide appropriate breaks depending on the temperature of that day. And analyze the worker stations. Like she mentioned, Lillian mentioned earlier that one woman was getting all the heat, so maybe if there's a way to rearrange the machinery so that not just one woman is being affected, then that would be great. So.
And we would like to thank everyone who's listed here for all of their help and for giving us this opportunity. Thank you. Matt.
First of all, thank you. A couple of quick questions. One, were you guys also taking outdoor temperatures? Did it seem to sort of correlate with bad days, correlate with bad days outside?
No. We were only able to monitor the indoor temperatures because the workers were actually carrying them.
Well,
a good question, and I wish that we would have kind of formally written down those temperatures, because we would on our own look at what the temperature was for that day and compare and be like, wow, you know, it's not very hot today, and look at what the temperature is on the monitor. But we didn't, unfortunately.
And the second quick question, you know, you were collecting data, the shift ended about noon, I think. Is there a second shift that goes like from noon to 8 to be a hotter part of the day, or are they done, all done?
They're pretty much all gone, yeah, after like 1 or so. Some come even earlier than 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's because of, like to save on electricity, they kind of run really early, their business, so everyone's out.
But there are these specific Suzanne Grid have those shifts at the noon, but there are other lounges that have working in the afternoon.
I wanted to add as backdrop that there is a new Cal OSHA standard around outdoor heat, but there isn't for indoor heat, and so even though this project was very useful to those workers, it's also going to be useful to a larger state campaign trying to extend the standard to indoor workplaces, and it builds on the work that Sarah Jacobs, who's here from LOSH, did the previous summer around trying to document indoor air pollution in a number of industries, which they presented on last year. Jenny?
Yeah,